Bibles and open to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we will be beginning in verse 20. This is now our third lesson in this series. I promise we won't spend three sermons on each chapter. We'd never get done. But since we've had to shift a little bit from our normal program, we are continuing our Bible class material in the form of sermons. So we are working through Proverbs 1 through 9 on Sunday morning as Justin and I work through the topics of Proverbs on Wednesday night. And so a little bit of a different approach to each of those, which is fine because they're very different. Proverbs 1 through 9 and Proverbs 10 through 31 are very different sections, but both, as Justin mentioned earlier, help us to better navigate life. And we have already been introduced to one of the three main characters in chapters 1 through 9. We've already been introduced to the father, and today we will hear from Lady Wisdom. There's one more character that we will hear from, and that's Woman Folly. And we will hold off on her a little bit, and we will be introduced to Woman or Lady Wisdom today. Before we dig in, to piggyback on what Justin said, the book of Proverbs does help us become wiser so that we can better navigate life. But that's not it. The book of Proverbs is not here to help us just, you know, make life easier on us. Our theme this year is each day I'll do a golden deed. We want to be better servants of one another. And if we can learn the wisdom that we see in the book of Proverbs, then we can be more effective, more efficient servants of God and of one another. And to do that, we must take the warnings of Lady Wisdom to heart. Read with me, if you will, in Proverbs 1 at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the marketplaces. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. We are so fortunate that God has not left us to ourselves just to figure it out. I want you to serve me. Good luck figuring out how. That's actually how the pagan gods treated people in their minds. They were very, very hairy-carry sometimes. Just whatever they wanted, just good luck figuring it out, but you got to try to make the gods happy. Our Lord doesn't do that. Our God tells us what He wants, and He tells us how to get through. And when the giver and sustainer of life gives you a book telling you how to get through this life, you would be a fool to not read it. Teacher ever tell you that it was time for a test, and it never failed, someone always asked, can this be an open book test? And of course, the answer was almost always no. Occasionally, the teacher would give an open book test. Occasionally. And how silly would you have to be to not use the book to find the answers? We have the book. Are we going to listen to what the book says? And so we have this personification of wisdom in the form of a woman. Remember, the father is talking to his son. And so he is picturing this lovely, wise woman who is appealing to him, who is calling out to him. And what we want to think about this morning is the danger of rejecting God's gifts. And the first gift we're going to look at is that of wisdom. And so we see that Lady Wisdom calls out. She's not hiding. Good luck finding me. You know, some things you want to find. If you write if you go after a PhD and you're going to write a dissertation, the point of writing a dissertation is to add something new to your field of knowledge. And so you're just extending the bubble of knowledge just a little bit. And so you're searching and you're having to dig deep. Lady Wisdom is not like that. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth to find her. She's out front calling into the crowds. This really would have gotten their attention because women did not speak like this in public in this time. And so for woman wisdom or lady wisdom to be out in the streets, to be at the gate of the city calling for people to come to her, would have been very unusual. It would have grabbed the son's attention. We have the initial reproof in verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? We have three groupings here. We have the simple. And these are those who are on the cusp of kind of getting ready to grow up. We talked about this term a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't want to say this with him here because I was afraid it would embarrass him. He's not here this morning, so I can say it. We're talking about someone around James's age. He's fixing to be 12 years old. He's starting to learn some real things about right and wrong and about what it is to grow up and what being a man is more like. It's a little bit different from some of the other ones, from maybe Charlie's age. He's still a child. And so at James's age, we're starting to expect him to grow up a little bit. Charlie was homesick last night. He kept calling Tiffany. And, well, he's 2 hours away. We couldn't get him. So I finally called James. And I said, hey, your brother's homesick. I need you to go get him and play with him. James was tired from playing with his cousins. And I said, I need you to do this for me. I need you to be a big help for us. Yes, sir. But he did it. And it helped so much. And he's learning that he's in that area of, I'd rather do this, but I understand some of the responsibilities. Then we have the fool. The fool is one who is rejecting maturity and wisdom. And then we have the worst of all. We have the scoffer. This is the one who doesn't just reject it, they mock it. They scoff at it. They make fun of it. Look at you people. You think being religious, you're just following a bunch of made-up stories, a bunch of fairy tales. They mock the eye. You're so self-doubting that you have to create a god. You've heard some of these lines before. That's the scoffer, and that's the worst group. And what Lady Wisdom says here is, you're a little too comfortable where you are right now. Simple ones, how long will you love being simple? It's time to grow up, is the idea. Each of these are content in their current state of ignorance. And so let me just stop right here with this reproof. We have to learn to take instruction. We have to learn and we have to understand that others may know more than us. And there may be a time for us to be instructed. We cannot be simple-minded so as to not hear reproof, or fools to hate knowledge, or scoffers to mock at the idea. We must listen as Lady Wisdom calls out. And then the longest part of this speech are the results of rejecting her. It's going to be bad. In verse 24, I've called, you refuse to listen. I stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. And because you have ignored my counsel and have had none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. When someone gives you advice, they tell you over and over and over, and you refuse to listen, and then whatever they said was going to happen happens, now what? Because of your refusal to listen, your refusal to mature, your refusal to be wise, all of these things are going to happen. And it's on you. It's your fault. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. I don't think this is a laughter of enjoyment. I don't think Lady Wisdom is sitting back like, oh, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen. Look at all these people failing. I don't think that's the idea. I think it's kind of the idea of when you see someone do something stupid. We've all seen this, right? Nathan, can I pick on you for a minute? He says yes. That Wednesday night in Bible class that he looked at me and said, Jonathan, has anything ever happened that made you regret making your marital vows? And I just like wanted to walk off the screen like, no, Nathan, you take care of that. And you're just like, oh boy, this is not going to go well. But you know what he doesn't mean it like that. We understand. Now, yes, he had to sleep out under the bush that night. But in those situations, I would have never been like, ha, Emily's going to kill you. But I can just, oh boy, here we go. That kind, I think that's what's going on. Like, Lady Wisdom sees us making these big mistakes and, oh boy. And you laugh because you almost don't know what else to do. Remember over in Psalm 2? It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? He who sits in the heavens laughs. God does not enjoy seeing that. He does not enjoy people seeing or people planning to move against Him. But He just... what foolishness this is. It's that same kind of idea. She tried to tell them how to avoid the troubles of life, and because they've rejected her, those troubles are going to come upon them. I told Tiffany I get to use one of my favorite phrases today in a sermon. One of my favorite phrases ever, and you've probably heard it. If you haven't, you're free to use it. If you play stupid games, you'll win stupid prizes. When somebody does something, James is getting close to this point of maybe wanting to do something silly because it sounds fun or because his buddies might be doing it. And just go to Google or YouTube and type in epic fails and watch people do these ridiculous things. I've seen a guy jump off of his truck bed into a cactus. And I laughed like Lady Wisdom, because if you win or play stupid games, you're going to win stupid prizes. This guy was in pain for quite some time. And then in verse 28, she tells him, I've warned you, don't come crawling back to me. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Don't come crawling back to me, she says. I won't have you. There is a point, ladies and gentlemen, of no return. There is a sense of finality to our decisions. Now, while we're hearing the warning, that opportunity is there. While we hear her saying, come to me, I can help you out, the opportunity is there. But when we reject her, and now we find ourselves in one of those situations in life where Lady Wisdom could help us, and now we start calling. She says, nope, it's not going to happen. God would say something similar in Micah chapter 3 at verse 4, then they will cry to the Lord, but He will not answer them. He will hide His face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to get them to repent. And finally, in the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the Assyrian, the Babylonian invasion, they say, oh, you're right, God will repent. And God says, I don't think so. It's too late. Isaiah 1 at verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen to you. Your hands are full of blood. And then verse 29, because they hated knowledge. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Because they would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. We have a modern day proverb for that. You made your bed, you lie in it. You created this mess, you clean it up. You have to deal with the consequences. For the simple are killed in their turning away. What was just a young man, young maybe even boy, who was naive and immature, not in any negative way, just because he was young, but because he refused to mature, he goes from just being young to becoming a fool. Because he turned away. The complacency of fools destroys them. That term complacency in the Hebrew, it's used elsewhere to talk about being secure where you dwell, being safe maybe within the walls of the city. So this individual thought they were safe. They thought they were secure. They thought they had everything they needed. There was nothing else to do. There was no room to grow. And she says, that will destroy you. This is on their own heads. It's like Romans 1 where Paul says God gave them up. And what we see is that their insistence on sinning against God only leads to worse and worse and worse sin. She has a solution though. In verse 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Look at verse 27. When terror strikes you like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. But if you'll listen to me, she says, you'll dwell secure. You will be at ease without dread of disaster. As you read this, Lady Wisdom almost sounds a little not nice. Sounds a little mean, maybe even a little vindictive. She seems angry almost. But I want you to think what we've just read. What did we talk about last week? And the speech of the gang, of the friends, who say, come with us. Let us shed blood. We'll all share the spoil. We'll put it all into one purse and then divide it up among us. We'll do all these evil things to innocent people. And Lady Wisdom shows up and she has to be strong. She has to show them the danger that they're about to get in. And so she's not really angry or vindictive. She's just trying to spur action. As I thought about this week, I couldn't help but think of the movie Mr. Destiny. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that movie. It was one of my dad's favorite movies. I was going to watch it and turned it on, and 10 minutes into it, Tiffany was already making fun of it, and we turned it off. It's pretty corny. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It's an older movie. I think 1990, and it's not great acting. But here's the storyline. This guy wants everything else in life. He's not content with anything. He wants this over here. He wants that woman there. He wants this job over here. He's not happy with anything. And so his life has changed and he has all those things and his life falls apart. He winds up being accused of killing somebody. He's going to go to jail. Everything is horrible. And then he wakes up. Okay. Everything's fine. That's what Woman Wisdom is offering you. She wants to scare you. She wants you to see how bad things can be. So she says in verse 27, when terror strikes you like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. But if you'll listen to me, she says, you will dwell secure. You will be at ease without dread of distress. So we wake up from the fear that she is trying to have us feel. And realize that if we will listen to Lady Wisdom, if we will listen to our Father, if we will listen to the Holy Spirit, then we can dwell secure. it is kind of a negative speech, but we're going to come back to her in chapters 8 and 9, where her speech is much more positive, is much more pleasant in nature. But I want you to think, the gang shows up and is trying to entice the son away. We got to stop it. We have to act swiftly and strongly to make sure we do not lose our young one. So if we're going to reject God's gift of wisdom, we're going to be in trouble. The passage has already been stated a couple of times that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. James 1 also says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to you freely. God gives us wisdom. If we reject it, we are digging our own graves. But as I was thinking about this passage and thinking about what to do with this and how to make it applicable, how to put it into sermon form, I could only think about maybe the flip side to this coin. And that is that this is the same thing as rejecting the gospel. Here is this great gift of God, and we reject it. Turn to the New Testament. We're going to walk through a number of passages very quickly to see that the gospel acts much in the same way, that Jesus acts much in the same way as Lady Wisdom. Jesus calls out to us, first of all, Mark 10 at verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not inherit it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. We are to be little children. Just as Lady Wisdom calls out to this child, so the gospel calls out to us. We are to be children. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 at verse 28. This was actually the first passage I thought of when I started thinking about this point. Matthew 11 at verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus calls out. He wants us to come to Him. He is pleading with us like Lady Wisdom. In Matthew 10 at verse 32, we're right there. He says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." Not only does Jesus call us, He calls us to the Father as well. John 14 at verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to the Father must come through me." He is offering an invitation. One more passage here, John 10 at verse 7. This is in the shepherd discourse. Jesus says, "I am the door to the sheep." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Look at chapter 10 and verse 7. Chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Then look at verse 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." We could have a list three times as long to talk about all the passages where God calls out, where Jesus calls out, invites us to Him, like Lady Wisdom does. We know all the benefits, we know all the rewards, we know all the security, we know all the hope, and we know all the promises. And Jesus calls out. But we see the results of rejecting the gospel. We see the results of rejecting God's gifts. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 13, we see at the end of this Sermon on the Mount, we see these passages that relate to us the danger of rejecting the gospel. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. That's the way of those who reject the gospel. Verse 19. Matthew 7 at verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, those who reject the gospel. Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, those who reject the gospel. And then verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Those who reject the gospel. Matthew 10 at verse 33, Jesus has just said in verse 32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. Now he says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. You want to talk about rejecting the gospel and God's gifts. This is exactly what the Hebrew writer has in mind here. Hebrews 2 at verse 1, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord and it was attested to us by those who heard. You know what the Hebrew writer is saying there? How will we escape if we ignore the call of Christ? Hebrews 12 at verse 25. Hebrews 12 at verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven? There's that language of rejecting God's gifts. And then let's look at one passage to really drive this home. 2 Thessalonians 1. There is so much in 2 Thessalonians 1 that answers a lot of false doctrine. False doctrine concerning the necessity or not of baptism. False doctrine concerning once saved, always saved. This is a powerful passage. 2 Thessalonians 1 at verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to grant relief to those who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God. And on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. And so just like when we reject Lady Wisdom, what comes next? It's on us. We've been warned. The invitation has been laid out. The gospel has been preached. Jesus isn't hiding. He's not somewhere that we have to go look for Him. He's not so far away that we have to seek Him. He's right here. He's calling out. And He's warned us of what will happen if we reject Him. And then when we reject Him, you'll hear people say sometimes, I can't believe in a God who would send someone to hell. Well, first of all, you making God after your own image, think you know better than God. There's a faulty step. But secondly, this doesn't make God a moral monster. It makes you a fool for rejecting Him. He laid out everything you could have ever wanted and needed, and you rejected it. He warned you of what would come if you rejected Him, and you still did it. So we see that Jesus, like Woman of Wisdom, calls out. We see the dangers of rejecting the gospel, like the dangers of rejecting wisdom. And there is a solution. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, at verse 20. Revelation 3, at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That is a beautiful passage. That is a wonderful thought. It's especially wonderful considering what was going on as John is writing Revelation. The suffering that these people are going through. God promises to be with them, even while this suffering is happening. And notice that He's not far away. They're not having to go look for Him. It's very interesting. In the Old Testament, you read some of that language. If you seek God, and then it's always followed by, He will be found. He's not hiding. We're not playing a game of hide and go seek. He's not a really good hider. In fact, He comes to us. And He knocks on the door. And we have a decision to make. Will we open the door and have fellowship with Him? Eat with Him. Dine with Him. Be with Him. Or will we reject Him? This picture of dining, we'll eat with almost anybody. In fact, in some places, it's kind of common. If the restaurant is very busy, then they'll actually put you with other people at the table. That'd be very weird to us, especially right now while we're social distancing, right? The nearest table's like 20 feet away right now. Now, sometimes at Cracker Barrel, when we go to maybe have our breakfasts there, we feel like we're awfully close to other people. The tables are, but we'll eat with almost anybody. We don't mind, even just a stranger, we'll meet with somebody and just to get to know them. That's not how it was in the first century. You only ate with those whom you had a relationship with. That's why it was so scandalous that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. They said, look at Him having fellowship with them. And now Jesus offers to eat with us. If we'll open the door. If we don't reject Him. Like the cry of Lady Wisdom, there is no third option between life and death. Moses said in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. In the book of Proverbs, we are going to see an emphasis on the right way and the wrong way. On the videos I've been putting up every week for our text in Proverbs, that's what I have. I have a path that is branching off. Which way are we going to go? There's only an option. There's only one way or the other. And for those of us who haven't made a commitment to the Lord, when the time comes, not only will there be another option, there won't be another chance. Will we have waited too long? Will we have gambled with our souls? Will we have gambled the very thing that we are dependent on? Jesus is calling. We know the dangers of rejecting the gospel. Won't you open the door and let Him in? He died for you. He died for me. He shed His blood so that our sins could be washed away. And now we have to make the decision to open the door. Won't you do that this morning while we stand and while we sing?